knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today is, oh, what a week it's been. I'll say.
Okay. It,
encapsulating a bunch of stuff.
Sure, here's
my week. Yeah. All right. So we recorded the formulaic objections episode about Alex's deposition on Saturday.
A day earlier than usual.
Right. We usually record on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it was sort of my intention to do that on Monday's show and then the rest of the deposition stuff on Friday, which would be this episode. But things didn't. We'll get to that in a second.
Of course.
But the reason we recorded a day early was because I was very kindly invited to give a lecture at the University of Kansas in Lawrence by Professor Colin. Boy, what a weird fucking turn of events. I didn't want to talk about it on the show itself.
Sure.
I'd made a post about it in the Facebook group.
Sure.
But I didn't want to mention it on the show itself just for the sake of, like, respecting the purity of kind of the academic setting.
Right,
I didn't
want
the possibility of a bunch of people to show up and, like, treat it like
of
a
course,
live show.
Of course, yeah.
I felt like that would be disrespectful to the students and the professor.
Right.
But
which is a nice way of saying you despise the unwashed masses.
It's not so much that. I just wanted to limit it a little. Our Black Dragon Queen, Christy, showed up.
I'm jealous you got to meet her. Yes. I saw the pictures.
It was very nice to meet, and she apparently had a good time. So, hey, hurrah.
Good news.
It was a great time. It was nice. I like Lawrence quite a bit, although I shouldn't because I went to the University of Missouri.
Naturally.
And KU is our mortal enemy.
Of course.
Not supposed to like that town, although I did see Andrew WK there once.
Right.
I saw Atmosphere there once.
I never saw you as having that much school spirit necessary to, like, despise another.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Although, I will say, when I was in college, sometimes when I would get drunk, it was really fun to yell, M-I-Z, fuck K-U, like that kind of stuff.
Of course.
You know, in the same way that, like...
That's communal, you know, you're not doing it by yourself in your room. Sure. It's like a call and response for people. Yeah,
went to a Cubs game, a Cubs playoff game, no less, once.
Yes.
And I did get swept up in the Go Cubs. Something I would talk shit about so many times in the past.
I'm telling you, if after you watch a good game, you sing the song with everybody. Just do.
The whole stadium
Everybody's
full of people.
They're swirling the flags. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Quite a time.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not necessarily the best lecturer.
Sure.
I've never done this before.
Right.
And so I positive reviews from the folks who were there. My parents came, Christy was there, and the professor all had very nice things to say, and so I'll take their word for it, but not as fluid, not enjoy. I think there's something in that setting where it's really nice when you can think the lecturer is having a good time.
Sure.
I definitely did not embody that. I was scared of these 18-year-olds looking at me.
Naturally, yes. Yeah.
I texted you about this, too, and it's like it's in your bones as somebody who does stand-up or has that time doing stand-up that you're expecting the response of laughter.
Yeah.
Even when you know that that's not the right
avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So viscerally, when I'd say things and get almost no response, some just dead-eyed looks
from people.
I'm
really bombing at this lecture I'm giving.
Yeah, it just you couldn't help but feel like kind of weird in that same way that you did. Although a high point probably was when they have these high-tech desks.
Mm-hmm.
And like so there's a TV built into the desk that comes up.
Damn.
Out of the desk.
Yeah.
And one of them got triggered somehow, and it just started coming up, and I acted like I was very scared of the robot desk. And so that was fun.
That does sound fun.
But yeah, it was a nice time. Got to spend some time with my parents.
Yeah. I was just thinking when we probably about what, 6 or so years ago, when we were drunk at like 3 a.m. arguing about the finer points of Andy Daly's career.
Right.
I was like, you know what?
And 2 hours earlier, you had said, I have to go. And I'm like, no, absolutely not.
You're saying. I was like, that's going to be a lecture someday. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah. So a lot of people had wanted a recording of the lecture itself. And unfortunately, we were trying to do that. But the tech, I think, was a little bit out of pocket.
Sure.
And so I'm not sure if there will be a recording of it.
Best case scenario, don't record your first one and put that out there.
I recorded the audio on my phone, but it's not good.
But that's how you work on your sets, buddy.
Exactly,
that's not for telling everybody else. Yeah.
So I flew to Lawrence on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and the lecture was on Monday, and then Tuesday morning I flew back.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a woo.
Yes.
Trip.
Yeah.
And you know, there was I've not had the pleasure of being on an airplane when there was trouble.
Oh yeah.
Not in the air, but like we were delayed for about an hour
the
way there.
Right.
And they were so cryptic about it. They were like, there's something in the wing and
in the wing.
All right.
There's a man on the wing of the plane.
Thankfully, I was so tired that I just slept through the delay anyway. And you know, whatever. So all that's great. And it was a delightful time. And thank you so much to Colin for inviting me out there. You know, just validating in a way of like, hey, you know, we're doing something. And
yeah.
It means something in a environment that I respect a lot. The academia.
I'm jealous. Zero clown colleges have called me. Zero. Mm. Not one have been like, how do you throw a pie? Can you give a lecture on this?
Is there a podcast asshole school?
A podcast idiot school? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of training necessary for this job.
It was a good time. And then on the way back, it turns out I get home and my computer broke.
Of course.
Like, the keyboard was all fucked up. And so I was trying to fix it, and I ended up breaking it even more.
Naturally.
And so I needed to get a new laptop, and adjusting to that is just a whole lot of hassle. You know, here's the fucking thing.
What's the fucking thing?
We have flown a little bit.
Yep.
For various things.
A couple times.
Yeah. And this time, also, add that into it.
Mm-hmm.
There has never been a single leg of one of my trips where I didn't have a flyer in my bag that said the TSA looked through it
and
opened it up every single time. I think it might be because of like electronics or something like that.
Yeah, usually.
But whatever the case, I blame the TSA and I'm calling for their abolition now because they messed up my computer.
I mean, one, I've been calling for their abolition for years, so glad you're on board.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you cannot fly in 2022 without losing something or breaking something.
Yeah, it's wild.
I mean, the last time we talked to Liz, she lost stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we were traveling, I lost stuff. It's a whole mess.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And so I'm back, and, you know, here we are.
Here we are.
Now, the issue is,
we recorded
on Saturday with this expectation that, like, Alex has been out of studio forever, so the idea was we'd do the deposition on Monday, come back Friday, boom.
Sure.
We're good.
Well, permanent vacation.
Meanwhile, Alex comes back on Saturday.
Oh, shit!
And so we didn't know that.
On vacation!
Right. So, anyway, we're going to talk about Alex's present day stuff here today, but before we do, what is your bright spot?
I thought you were so close.
No.
You're still on it.
No,
I knew what was going on,
but I was also self-conscious of how long that had gone on.
Of course, I understand. Well, I'll make mine quick then. My man, this has been a fucking great World Series. Absolutely spectacular World Series.
Even though one team's a bunch of cheaters?
I mean, it's been so up, you know, like last game, two nights ago, Schwarber, Harper, the Hoskins, they all went on a home run parade.
Bob Hoskins?
Not Bob Hoskins. Oh. Super Mario, still dead, I think.
Uh-huh.
yeah, R.I.P. Bob. But yeah, and then last night, Houston no hit the Phillies.
Whoa.
So it's been all this up and down, and then it's the second time a no hitter's ever been thrown in the World Series, and it was a combined no hitter. Christian Javier was out of this world good. Yeah, it's been a fantastic World Series.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun, especially since neither team particularly are like your team.
No.
So keeping it exciting and
absolutely,
being something you're really enjoying, despite the fact that you don't have a team in the hunt.
It's tough, yeah, but it's great.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. So, Jordan, like I said, today we're talking about Alex's return.
Excellent.
Finally, Alex has come back.
I wouldn't say finally.
To the studio.
Oh, no.
You don't know Rock references.
I would prefer if he were still on the road.
You see, in the Attitude Era, the Rock, whenever he would show up in a town, he would begin his promos with, "Finally, the Rock has come back." To Chicago.
Oh no, that's too long. Yeah, that's bad timing.
It was great. And then sometimes you'd be like, weird tongue wiggle.
Is there a reason that they decided to make this the most important movie star on the planet?
And
is that what
also
happened?
Also, sometimes he would talk about poontang pie and call people jabronis.
I do not like the way that the guys, of which there are five in like the 90s, became the five guys in 2022. They're all the worst guys.
But who else would you choose? It doesn't matter who else you choose.
You son of a bitch.
Yes.
You win again.
It's perfect.
Yep.
So yeah, we're going to talk about Saturday and Sunday.
Excellent.
By that, I mean mostly Sunday because Saturday is a disaster.
Of course.
Alex did a 3.5-hour show. It was mostly pre-recorded with some guests, and I don't really care.
Nope.
But before we get into that, Jordan, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, happy birthday, Em and Liv. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, thank you so much, Totoro. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Oh, thank you very much.
I almost read this incorrectly, but I did not. So thank you so much to Taylor W. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Little Boo Squid. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And we got a technocrat here in the mix, Jordan. So actually, this is the one that I almost read as Kurt Quesadilla.
Ah.
But that is not correct. But I'm not going to read his last name. So anyway, Kurt Q, thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone, sodomite, sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much, Kurt.
Yeah, was that Kurt Quetzalcoatl? Was
no.
it the ancient god of the Mayans?
I feel like any time I see a Q and then more than like three letters,
I'm
in trouble.
Yeah, that's fair.
Scanning it is difficult
that
for
is
me.
Fair. That is fair.
But hey, here we are. Alex came back. The very next day. Sorry. Alex came back on Saturday and did his nonsense.
Uh-huh.
And here's the thing, man. It's a bummer because he's gone for quite a while, and then he comes back as if nothing happened, and he just is like, I was on a workcation.
What?
Yeah.
You lost $1 billion.
Workcation.
You can't come back from losing $1 billion and be like, all right, head down, let's just get back to work.
But he does do this a bit.
Sure.
I mean, I feel like we see him a lot of times when things are bad, it's like, well, let's get one last vacation in here. So I don't fully know what he was up to or what he was doing, but I would assume it was taking care of some
numerous legal matters.
Yeah, difficult business.
Yeah, I would argue that.
But things happen in the world, and Alex cannot stay away for long.
Absolutely not.
What happens, let's say, when someone breaks into Nancy Pelosi's house?
Can't think of anything.
Alex needs to get back in studio.
That's a good point.
So he decided to cover this story early and sensationally.
We have Nancy Pelosi's husband being attacked with a hammer and them trying to say that he's a Trump supporter or a QAnon person. But now we have the audio. We'll play in just a moment. The 911 call. Police dispatch. Paul Pelosi said he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and he is a friend. He was in his underwear. They were naked. The step was broken inside, not broken into. And so something very interesting going on there with Mr. or Herr, Monsieur Pelosi.
I'm sorry, what?
We'll be getting into all of that here today.
Throw in Senor, why not?
Did he just add German and French in there?
Yeah, he likes to have fun.
All right.
So it's not too surprising to see Alex being pretty on top of the Pelosi conspiracy theories, and also not surprising to see him lying about the situation. He doesn't have the audio of the 911 call. That's just entirely made up, and he's basing his reporting on faulty assumptions that he just saw in memes or on dumb blogs. In reality, Pelosi was the victim of a home invasion, and the person was holding him hostage with a hammer, but he was that guy who came in, David DePape, was really more interested in his wife.
Yeah.
Mr. Pelosi was able to convince the guy to let him use the bathroom where his phone was charging, and he made a call to police, being careful to speak in language that wouldn't set off alarms for the guy with a hammer.
Yeah.
Pelosi did convey to 911 that the guy's name was David, specifically that the guy had said that his name was David. He also was clear that he didn't know who he was and that he planned to wait there for his wife to arrive. Just after police arrived, David hit Pelosi with the hammer and was arrested. In the ambulance, Pelosi told Officer Ariane Starks that he, quote, had never seen DePape before. The glass was not broken outward. A witness who was working security at the neighboring address, nearby house, saw, quote, an individual in all black carrying a large black bag on his back walking near the Pelosi residence. He, quote, then heard what sounded like banging on either a door or car. Also, in a post-arrest interview, DePape admitted that he, quote, broke into the house through a glass door, which was a difficult task that required the use of a hammer.
Yeah.
DePape's interview is consistent with Pelosi's version of events in that they didn't know each other and that DePape had arrived, broken in, and demanded to know where Nancy was. DePape made it clearer to police that he wanted to hold her hostage and that if she lied to him, he would break her kneecaps so she would have to be, quote, wheeled into Congress, which would show other members of Congress there were consequences to actions.
Okay.
It's clear from his admissions to police, from his actions, and from his writing prior to the attack that David DePape is a far-right extremist who was at best attempting to hold the Speaker of the House hostage and maim her.
Yeah.
It's very obvious why people across the right-wing media ecosystem, from Alex to Matt Walsh to Glenn Greenwald, have tried to run interference on this story and craft a different narrative out of it, and that's because it's a direct result of their ideology and rhetoric. They know that, and they welcome it. But in order to keep the business running, it's key to disown your children once they take action. That's all that's going on
right
here.
Right,
it's very,
right,
very repetitive. We've seen this a million times.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good thing, though, that when we see this happen, no one does anything about it. I appreciate that the most, because I would be really sad if this didn't continue to happen forever and ever and in perpetuity. You know,
it well,
would be a real bummer if somebody
you think that would be
did
sad?
Something.
Do you think it'd be sad if this didn't continue forever?
Oh, it'd be terrible.
I have great news.
Oh, that's good news, because, you know, nobody's going to do anything about it, which is amazing.
It's tough. I mean,
it's amazing.
On the one hand, I kind of agree, and I feel your laments.
Sure.
But on the other hand, I'm not really fully certain I know what can be done.
Yeah.
I don't know what should be done necessarily.
It's a good thing that nobody has ever put out, say, a list of people for whom this type of action would be valuable.
Mm.
You know, it's a good thing nobody's ever been like, hey, here's a, let's say, hit list of some sort, you know, of the people that need to
sure.
be taken care of.
Or, you know, it's a good thing that someone like Alex has never, you know, told people to make lists of globalists in their town.
Absolutely.
You know, that
yeah.
they could take care of if
yeah.
Need be.
Yeah. Just be prepared.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sign of pretty, it's an escalation.
Yeah.
It feels like.
I'm very fascinated by this dude's plan. That's what fascinates me most about this whole thing. How does he think this goes if it goes the best it can?
Well, I think he understood to whatever extent he could that it wasn't going to go good.
No. There was no end where he's like innocent
no.
of something.
I think,
he's suiciding.
He understood that the end result was probably going to be him in prison.
Right.
But on the way there, he could maim Nancy
exactly.
Pelosi in a way that would send a message to the rest of Congress.
Right.
Yes,
I get that. I'm just fascinated by that idea of like, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a weird thing. I'm going to go to the Speaker of the House's home with a hammer.
Right.
It's just fascinating to me.
Yeah.
It just is.
It's a mess.
Yep.
So anyway, Alex said he had 911 call footage,
sure.
audio.
Obviously.
He doesn't. He has something else.
Here is the audio that's posted the article on Infowars.com. Police dispatch Paul Pelosi said he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and he is a friend. Here it is.
Northern 4 car, A priority 910, 2640 Broadway, cross of Scott and Normandy. Air 14 Network copy. RP stated that there's a male in the home and that he's going to wait for his wife. RP stated that he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and that he is a friend. RP sounded somewhat confused. Is a friend? RP sounded somewhat confused. October, back in Calgary.
All right. His name is David, and he's a friend, but he doesn't know who he is.
So this isn't a 911 call. This is a dispatcher relaying the information from a 911 call. Also, there's a very clear pronoun reference issue here that is at the heart of this. What this dispatcher is saying is that Pelosi doesn't know who the person is, but the person had said that his name is David and that he is a friend. He wasn't saying that Pelosi considers this guy a friend. He's saying that Pelosi is saying that David told him he was a friend.
Right.
It's about as simple as an explanation as that, but Alex has to grasp at whatever straws are there to pretend that this is some kind of fake thing as opposed to the exact logical conclusion of his worldview, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yep. I mean, it's really kind of simple, direct. You can draw a one-to-one line from stochastic terrorism to terrorism.
Mm.
It's real easy.
No. Here's what we haven't considered.
Oh.
This is a false flag.
Ah, shit!
Also, won't somebody think of Rand Paul?
Well, I guess it do, but look good if your wife was Nancy Pelosi. That would turn anybody gay, I would think.
What?
But the whole point is they're trying to frame the American people with this right now as some type of attempted false flag. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm saying they're trying to blame conservative voters. They're calling it a new January 6th, but it gets worse. Senator Rand Paul, who had six ribs broken and a lung punctured and is still in serious health problems because of it, the left celebrated when he got physically attacked. He put out a tweet wishing him a speedy recovery and saying political violence should not happen, and it's wrong. The left called him a little bitch.
The left is apparently Rex Chapman on Twitter.
Sure.
So I guess that's, you know.
Got him.
Yeah. So if this constitutes a false flag, then the term has entirely lost its meaning. It's just a meaningless catchphrase for Alex to throw out to pop the crowd. It's like his get or done at this point. It
yep.
just means it's so empty. As for Rand Paul, that wasn't a politically motivated attack at all. He got into a fight with his neighbor, Rene Boucher, about yard waste. From an NBC News article about Boucher's trial. Quote, federal prosecutors said Boucher had enough after he witnessed Paul stack brush into a pile on his own lawn, but near Boucher's property. Boucher then ran onto Paul's property and tackled him. These aren't comparable situations at all, and all Alex is doing is playing a distraction game, but oh, won't you think of poor Rand Paul? Rex Chapman said something mean about him.
I think here's what I'm struggling again. Here's what I'm having a trouble with. Man, that neighbor could just tackle him.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? What are you doing going into her house with a hammer? Just wait until she's outside and then tackle her.
It is, you know, it is.
Why are there so many elaborate plans? Whenever, if you're just his neighbor, you can be like, hey, those are a bunch of fucking sticks, and then tackle them. They're so easy to attack people.
Those sticks are too close to my yard.
So easy.
It is a shocking lack of, like, functional security.
Yeah.
You're not wrong about that. It's a little upsetting.
Yeah.
So we got news on a topic that we're all so used to hearing about, you know, once an episode, maybe.
Of course.
Something is really severe, and then it's not. It's the COVID narrative of the day.
Can't find that news, actually. Can somebody reprint that for me? Oh, here it is. I found it. Daniel, it's here.
Today's COVID bombshell. We've reached the COVID narrative of the day.
It's over.
Meanwhile, flu, they said, was gone for 2 years. They were counting that as COVID to get you to take the poison shot. Now, so far, the flu season is more severe than it's been in 13 years. There's all these deaths of the vaccinated, and they're calling it the flu.
The flu wasn't gone. It was just that when Alex was starting to get really going with his COVID death conspiracy theories, that was right when flu season was ending. So he made a really big deal out of how the CDC was going to stop monitoring flu deaths. He settled on that as a fake explanation for the things back then, and he hasn't thought about it since. And he just hasn't updated talking points.
Yeah.
Even so, in the 2021 flu season, it was estimated that the flu resulted in between 8 and 13 million cases and between 5,000 and 14,000 deaths. It was relatively mild, as was the 2020 season, most likely because of the broad adoption of COVID mitigation strategies like social distancing and wearing masks. People have seemed to decide that shit is all done with, so whatever benefit that was bringing about is gone. One variable that's likely unrelated to human behavior patterns is that the flu is coming early this year, and it looks like this year the H3N2 strain that's spreading is fairly severe. That's unlucky, partially because about 26 million less people have gotten the flu vaccine than did in 2020, which conceivably could be at least in part attributed to the meteoric rise of anti-vax rhetoric and belief in the intervening years, pushed by folks like Alex.
Yeah.
Much of the influence that Alex and his ilk have put into the world have contributed to the pretty bleak situation we see in front of us in terms of flu, but naturally, when things get bad, it'll just be reported to the audience as evidence that he was right all along, because he just gets to claim that flu deaths are secretly COVID vaccine deaths without proving it in any way, and there we go.
Yep. Yep.
Nothing is real.
Yeah, I really do appreciate everyone's staunch refusal to learn the most obvious and enduring lesson of all time, which is that there will be unintended consequences of all of this bullshit. And the COVID, while whatever it is level of quote, we're done with it, as there may be, the reverberations of the behaviors during that time period are going to be echoing for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're in serious situations.
Yep. Yep. The unwillingness of people to take public health situations seriously.
Yeah.
The erosion of sort of public trust.
There's no trust in any government to, like, respond in any way to a problem.
Right. And good luck using individual solutions to solve population-level problems.
Yep.
It's not going to work.
Nope.
Great.
Yep.
So, Alex interviews some people, and I don't care. One of them was Roger Stone.
Great.
I don't care. But before we get out of Saturday's episode, October 29th, that episode, we have a tortured metaphor.
Oh, no.
It's 3.5 minutes long.
Oh, no.
Alex is talking about Elon Musk.
Oh, God, no.
And he starts thinking about you judge a man by you judge a tree by its fruit.
Sure.
You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And then he starts talking about literal trees and fruits.
Oh, no.
And boy, does this go on.
You have described the worst thing in history. A tortured metaphor from Alex, almost 4 minutes, about Elon Musk. That's the worst thing in the history of the world.
Yeah, he should have taken another day off.
Getting back to Elon Musk, I look at a tree by what fruits it bears. You know, I used to, before my ex-wife divorced me, have 9 acres out in the country outside Austin on the Barton Creek. And we had a couple acres on one side of the creek and like 7 acres on the other side. The folks we bought the house from had an apple, a plum, and a pear orchard. And we could get more apples and plums and pears than we could ever eat off of that 7 acres. About 4 acres of it right in the middle was those trees. We didn't take care of them. We didn't prune them. We didn't do anything. But I go over there all the time. Little spillway there at the creek. Someone had to walk through the water. Or I'd drive my truck across, and I'd just load baskets with apples and plums and pears. Some other fruit, I'm forgetting it, but
you cannot be serious.
And the crazy thing was, you'd have a little tree next to a big one, but it would have twice as many plums on it, or twice as many pears on it, or apples. And sometimes you'd have one of the bigger trees that grew really big and strong and looked great, but it would have almost nothing on it. And that's what the Bible's talking about, judging
what?
A tree by its fruits. You look at this little tree, and it's loaded with apples, where it's almost weighed down to the ground. In fact, we had one tree went down to the ground. It had so many apples on it, like just like 100 apples. We were making apple pies constantly and everything, just God's bounty.
Is this story about stealing?
And the same thing for a plum tree. You'd have like a...
This is not his stuff.
Plum tree, and then a big plum tree, and there'd be a few plums on the big plum tree and a whole bunch on the little one. And it wasn't always like that. We had a few trees that were big trees that were also loaded. You had to get a ladder up there and get them off. But that's not where I'm going with this.
Oh, it's not?
People ask me what I think of Elon Musk, and I try to be Christ-like. I don't claim to be very Christ-like. I try to be Christ-like, but I definitely follow the teachings of Christ.
Someone hit him with 100 apples.
And my Savior, but let's just say this, Christ is never wrong. But when I compare my thinking to Christ, that isn't from an arrogant perspective, just be very clear. But Christ said, you judge a tree by its fruits. And so when I look at Elon Musk and the things he's done, promoting Neuralink and Starlink and all of it, that kind of weighs down him being a good guy on the side of bad. But then you look at coming out against the vaccine 2 years ago and saying, don't take it at the start, and coming out against world government, and now coming out against the Ukraine war, and now coming out against censorship, and now saying we shouldn't get rid of fossil fuels, they're a good thing, we need them, alongside electric while we develop better systems, and that we will collapse if we don't have it, and just on and on and on, I look at the tree that is Elon Musk, and I say, this guy's getting better and better. And so the good side of him way outsides the bad.
Don't worry, you're going to end up liking him. He was an apartheid profiteer. His family is, that's his background. So you'll be fine. You'll like him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't quite know what to do when anybody brings up Elon Musk without being like, what needs to happen is the entire population of the earth needs to jump upon him and tear him limb from limb. Mm. Like, there's not much other things to say about him.
Or he needs to stack brush too close to Rene Bouchet's yard.
Yes.
So, as usual,
we need to find ways to trick people into stacking brush too close to his yard.
So, as usual, Alex has completely misunderstood the Bible verse he claims that he bases a lot of his thinking around.
Yeah.
There are two verses that he's referencing here with the fruit and the trees. One of them is Luke 6:43-45, which says, quote, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil." A similar passage is found in Matthew 7:15-20. Quote, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." This appears in both Luke and Matthew because both those Gospels are largely believed to have been derived from a common source. That's a really complicated matter, so to stick to the simple stuff, Alex has no idea what these verses mean, apparently. Right. Even in this long, meandering plum and apple story that he's telling, Alex offers two different interpretations of how you can tell a tree by its fruit, and they're both wrong in terms of what the Bible says.
Yep.
The first he presents is that you can tell how good a tree is, not by how big it is, but by the amount of fruit it produces. This is a fun way to think about plants, but it's not related to that scripture at all.
No.
The second version Alex comes up with is that you weigh the good fruit against the bad fruit in order to determine if a tree is good or bad.
Makes perfect sense.
Which is also not what the Bible is saying.
Yeah.
The real problem with this Bible verse is that it espouses an absolute that humans can't really live up to. Good trees produce good fruit, and bad trees produce bad fruit. No good tree produces bad fruit, and no bad tree produces good fruit. Therefore, if you produce bad fruit, you're a bad tree, and if you produce good fruit, you're a good tree.
Yeah, there's a reason that people like to think of it in a different way, because the other way of thinking about it, do you mean the more accurate way of thinking about it?
It's hard.
It's
impossible.
Predestination.
In this actual context, the verse is really unhelpful to Alex because it would require him to put definite labels on people which are rigid and cannot be changed. Alex can't work in that environment because he needs to be able to shift the allegiances of his imaginary allies and enemies depending on what headlines he needs to respond to, and if they're determined to be unwaveringly good or bad, it hurts his ability to make shit up as he goes along. This is all very stupid, and it illustrates how Alex's understanding of his holy text is really just surface level and mostly based on catchphrases he doesn't really grasp. And naturally, this is all really just a ramp up for Alex to explain that he'll determine whether or not Elon Musk is a good tree based on whether or not he lets Alex back on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's really what Jesus was talking about.
There you go.
You know, we'll see what fruits.
It is just impossible for him to understand the Bible in any other interpretation than capitalist. Like, because again, it's not about the type of fruit, really. This small tree's got 100 fruits, my man. That's better than the big tree. That's a good tree. You know that's a good tree, so you sell those fucking fruits.
Well,
if you
have a plum tree that has like 100 fruit, right?
Yeah.
30 of them might be good, 70 bad. 30.
That's a bad
30.
Tree.
No, yeah. That's a good tree compared to a tree that puts out like
25
but
total.
They're all good.
But that's
it's
still
only 25
yeah,
plums.
Exactly. You gotta invest in the bigger tree.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, this is what Jesus was talking about.
He's really describing an IPO for fruit orchards.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I agree.
Some of those like forbidden books of the Bible, this is what it gets into.
Yep.
It gets into like real calculus about fruits.
Yep.
Anyway, I decided to punt on covering the rest of this and move on to Sunday when Alex is maybe in
finer form.
Yeah, it's sort of in mid-season form.
Gotcha.
He's gotten back in studio.
Back in the fastball range. Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
And so here's where we start off on Sunday. I was wrong.
All right, I was already planning today, last night and this morning, to come in here on this special Sunday broadcast. And every broadcast is special. This one's particularly
every
special.
Broadcast.
And just talk about why there's a war on children and why the real currency of this satanic global elite and their minions is hurting and killing children. And then this afternoon, when I was going through clips and doing research here about 3 hours ago at the office, I saw a clip of Laura Logan, the famous investigative journalist, who they're really demonizing and attacking now for coming out against the poison shots and the globalists. And she was talking about why they target children as an affront to God, and that's really what it's all about. And then they're given basically evil rewards by the God of this world for what they do.
I'm not sure if the problem people had with Laura Logan was that she said that there's a war on children and it's done as an affront to God. That kind of commentary probably would preclude her from being on a network that's trying to do serious work, but
sure.
She was on Newsmax, so that's not a big deal there. Her comments were so inappropriate that Newsmax had to put out a statement saying they wouldn't interview her again.
Mm-hmm.
She was a guest on Eric Bolling's show, and she said, quote, "They may think that they're going to become gods. That's what they tell us. You know, the ones who want us eating insects, cockroaches, and that while they dine on the blood of our children, those are the people, right? They're not going to win." So Logan's blood libel-laden QAnon rant was just another step on her path to full-on public conspiracy lunatic, and a lot of people have this notion that she's fallen so far. She was formerly the chief foreign affairs correspondent at CBS News, which is a lofty position compared to someone no longer welcome on Newsmax, but the reality is she'd already fallen from grace. She was put on leave of absence by CBS in 2013 after an internal investigation found that her reporting on Benghazi was fraudulent and that, quote, key elements of the story were untrue. Her reporting relied heavily on a story told by a contractor named Dylan Davies, who was lying to her. Davies spawned a story about how he'd gotten into combat during the attack and he'd seen Ambassador Stevens' body, but unfortunately he'd already told the FBI that he never left the villa that evening and that he hadn't been on the scene at all.
Ouch.
Logan did not follow up on details of Davies' story that would have indicated credibility problems. She also failed to disclose that he had a book deal selling his fraudulent story about what he did during the attack.
Ouch.
And these weren't the only problems. It was shitty work, and it's not the kind of mistake you would think would be made by someone who is otherwise good at their job. It's not a first-time mistake. It's very sloppy.
I would argue that maybe the simplest thing about an interview is to be like, hey, you know what? There's an FBI interview, too. I'm going to go check that real quick and cross-reference it with the bullshit you're saying to me.
Yeah, even if you're not, like, even if you don't have the FBI interview available to you, there's other things you could do to, like, try and corroborate details.
Totally.
and be like, hey, is this guy just trying to get promotion for his book?
No, it's kind of like what, just off the top of my head, somebody like Alex might do is interview somebody who's completely lying about their credentials and then inflating it and then putting it out on TV.
I can see why he likes her.
Yeah.
So in the past few years, she's become just another raving nut that's allowed to spread nonsense on conservative platforms. She had a show on Fox Nation, but was fired earlier this year, and now she's rambling about Q shit and blood libel with Eric Bolling and getting the boot from Newsmax. What I'm saying is that she's a prime candidate for Alex to hire, and I think it makes total sense for him to come to her defense. She's unwelcome anywhere else, and Alex could really use anybody with a little
clout.
Totally. Can't keep having Harrison Smith host everything, and God. If Alex has to take another workcation, got to get somebody in there.
It's just like, I wish it would be so much. It's so simple, too, because it's just like, hey, do you know why their number one thing is attacking children? Because if I tell you that, then maybe it'll override your emotional center long enough that you won't think for 2 seconds and realize that I'm full of shit.
They want to drink
your blood.
You'll
give me money. Ah, yay! That's why their enemy is children.
So we got some big news here.
Yeah.
That Alex is covering. Shocking if true.
Mm.
But also not true.
Oh.
Diesel is set to run out somewhere around the 15th of November.
So wait, all diesel?
In about 16, just all diesel. Days. All diesel reserves and all diesel gone. That's what they estimate.
Okay.
Including at the local filling station. They will be out of diesel.
Sounds right.
By the 15th. That was reported by the federal government over a week ago. So now we're talking about 16 days, 17 days out. Depending on how you look at it, the 15th or the 16th of November, right after the midterms elections.
Oh, my God.
Yep, there it is.
So this is stupid.
Yep.
And we're not going to run out of diesel fuel. Alex just saw Tucker tweet something that was incorrect, and now he's reporting on that tweet as if he's looked into the story at all. The comments that were made is that there's a 25-day supply of diesel fuel in the country, which was to say that if all production were to stop immediately, it would run out in 25 days. The thing is that production didn't stop, and it isn't stopping, so there's no date where the fuel is just going to be magically gone. An economics professor explained to CBS News that we generally have a supply that would last about 35 to 40 days out, but there's a tightening of supply and an increase of demand that's slightly lowering that window. But it'll adjust back eventually.
Yeah.
The point is that diesel isn't running out. This is just a dumb lie Alex is using to scare his listeners. Also, let's be clear. If we had an impending date that was less than a month out where we'd be entirely out of diesel fuel and we had no plan in place to adapt to that, that would be a catastrophe.
Yeah.
Most of our trucking delivery folks rely on it to bring food around the country, among countless other goods that need to be transported. If these trucks all simultaneously became immobile, it's difficult to estimate the amount of death that could result in. Unthinkable.
If that were the case, that would be the only thing anyone was talking
about.
You
bet.
Everybody would be like, okay, just real quick, so everybody knows, in 3 weeks, we will starve to death.
In 3 weeks, we will have no trucks.
Without diesel,
right.
We will all die.
If Alex believed this for a second, he would be freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
And not just reporting this as some kind of weird conspiracy
I'd
about
the
elections.
I'd be freaking the fuck out.
Yeah. Oh, it's about the midterms.
I'd be like, no, this month we're all going
to
die.
He knows this is meaningless,
yeah.
But the audience doesn't stick around unless you give them ample reason to be scared. So he just tosses this bullshit on the pile, knowing it means nothing. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
This show is so dumb.
I mean, that is absolutely just like, hey, here's a story that's kind of gone unreported. The Midwest won't have corn next week. Like, no, I'm sorry. That would not go unreported.
Here's a story that everybody's missing out on. A giant meteor about to hit Earth, and
yep.
We can all see it with
yep.
our eyes.
Yep.
Okay.
Hey, come on now. Let's not steal too many movie plots.
So the story that is on everybody's mind,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Yes.
Pelosi.
Yeah.
So we got to touch back on this one.
And that all ties into Pelosi's husband. We have the 911 tape.
Still
it's not a right-wing rumor. Both men were in their underwear. The police held it up till today. They released the 911 call on Friday, but it got no attention. But today, the San Francisco police released the fact that Mr. Pelosi and the man half his age, who is a hippie from a nudist colony, not a right-winger, were in his bedroom, both in their underwear, with hammers when someone else let the police in, and they had the 911 call where Pelosi said, I'm here with, and name the man, my friend, and he's attacking me. So Pelosi is circling the toilet bowl very, very quickly, 80-something years old, and you got two dudes in their underwear in a bedroom with hammers. And
that sounds fun.
They're desperate to try to call this the new January 6th.
Who is?
It's incredibly illustrative.
What?
Of exactly when? How these people operate. And they put up fake websites Friday saying he was a right-winger. Turns out those are fake. I guess those are fake news, too, that Pelosi got arrested drunk. These people are just absolutely slaves of the system.
Amazing. So I love the idea that there's that two dudes naked with hammers. You do the math.
As if
it's like, okay, of course. Well, they had hammers.
Well, I mean, if there's two dudes naked with hammers, somebody's going to go to the hospital.
We all know.
We've all been there.
We all know what it means when there's naked dudes with hammers. It's a story as old as time.
That is such a, like, oh, there's probably something sexual going on there, is his intimation. Yes. It's like, I have never heard of two dudes naked with hammers. None.
It's classic hammer play.
I've been on the internet since I was 14 years old. Believe me, if there was a two dudes naked with hammers thing, I would at least know about it by now.
I'll send you some links.
Okay, thank you.
I'll send you some links.
Thanks. Okay.
So there's no evidence that Pelosi and DePape were in their underwear when the police arrived. Pelosi was asleep when DePape broke into the house, so he was in a pajama shirt and boxer shorts, so you could say that's his underwear. Initial reporting from KTVU Fox 2 had incorrectly said that DePape was in his underwear, but this was a misunderstanding of him being in his shorts.
Right.
Paul Pelosi answered the door, but the phrasing of the initial police report, it didn't specify who had answered the door, leading right-wing media figures to just assume that it must have meant that there was a third person there.
Of course.
There was not, and Alex is just reporting that based on nothing. Maybe he saw a meme, who knows?
Yeah.
The websites and writings that were found, created by DePape, were not fake. He did have a bit of a hippie phase back in, like, 2013, but had since descended deeply into extreme right-wing bullshit, much of which matches up pretty well with the stuff Alex yells about every day.
Yep.
He had a blog where he explained that he was radicalized by Gamergate, as is the case for so many ding-dongs, and after that point, he went off the conspiracy deep end. He has posts including climate change denial, transphobia, nonsense about the Great Reset, Second Amendment fears, 2020 election conspiracies, and of course, Holocaust denial. It's fair enough to say that he had a phase where he was into a presumably left-wing hippie nudist lifestyle, but that ended a long time ago. I'm not sure if anyone really wants to call this the new January 6th. It's an act that's on a completely different scale from a mob invading the Capitol, but it would also be dishonest to not recognize some important similarities. Both events involved someone targeting Nancy Pelosi. At least in some capacity, they were motivated by conspiracy bullshit about the election being stolen.
Mm.
Both events involved people bringing zip ties, which gives some indication of an intent to take hostages. Honestly, the people who are responding to this in the same way they did to January 6th are folks like Alex. The same knee-jerk denial is being employed because this attack threatens him in a way that's the same as January 6th did. It can't be allowed to be seen as the natural conclusion to his ideology and rhetoric, because then as a society we might wake the fuck up and start taking this stuff seriously. The extreme right-wing community learned their lesson from how huge a setback the Oklahoma City bombing was to the ability for militia groups and extremist cells to organize, and they don't want to have to do that work again of renormalizing themselves.
Right, right.
So they don't want something to be very well understood to be like, oh yeah, this is kind of what you're going to end up this is the end result of this.
Yeah, yeah. I think for me, like, I do feel somewhat for the propagandists and the stochastic terrorists on this.
Won't somebody think of the propagandists?
It's just too easy now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, all they had to do was throw out a little homophobia, and then everybody's like, oh, well, the Pelosis are all liars. That's it? Come on.
Yeah.
I want a higher class of criminal here.
No, totally. And I think that, you know, it's one of the reasons why a lot of these folks don't really interest me that much.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these folks who are sort of newer in the propaganda game. One element is the trolley aspect of it. I just find uncharming.
Yeah.
But then the other part is that it's just so fucking easy.
Yeah.
You know, at least, you know, with Alex, there's an underpinning of this, you know, JBS inspired anti-communism,
sure.
The white identity kind of religious beliefs and the militia movement of the 90s that he's still connected to.
Right.
You know, there's
he's connected to the past and the present, which is
it's someone who was a higher class of criminal who has descended into just being a trolley bullshit loser.
It is kind of an interesting, like, we have somewhat tracked the fall of not just Alex but all of right wing propaganda, really. Mm-hmm. It's pathetic now.
It's also pathetic that it still is effective.
Yeah, that's the
even
worst
in its
part.
Pathetic shape.
That's
it's still,
the worst part. Yeah. You know, the reason it's pathetic is because they found out you really didn't have to try that hard.
You know, if there's infinite universes, there's got to be one where Alex stuck to his guns and didn't take the bait on like meme shit and hanging out with people like Carpe Donctum.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, that's a better world.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway,
what you gonna do?
Alex has done some interviews.
Okay.
I haven't heard any of these, and I don't believe they exist.
Fair.
Infowars.com, and this broadcast is bigger than it's ever been. I have done hundreds of interviews in the last month, and hundreds more I didn't have the time and energy to do. And all these different big broadcasts are saying, we apologize, you were right. The New World Order is real. They want to forcibly inject us. They're coming after our children.
Wait, what?
They're building COVID camps. What do we do?
Who are these people?
What just happened?
Who are these interviews that he's done on these major platforms who are apologizing to him?
He made a lot of claims quickly that are absolutely insane.
I can't imagine any of that's true.
No.
I'm interested in seeing these interviews.
I mean, there's hundreds of them. Frankly, you can't shake a stick without hitting an interview that Alex has done, and yet somehow, none. I have seen none.
Yeah, I mean, the workcation, you know... was hundreds of interviews.
I guess.
I guess maybe it's like hundreds of interviews with his lawyers.
Yeah,
like,
he probably should have just done ayahuasca or something. You know, go on a vision journey. Do something along those lines. Really figure shit out.
I'm sure ManCow could hook him up.
Totally.
He got into that for
absolutely.
A bit.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So this next clip, I think, is actually, it's super revealing, and I think bums me out a lot.
I want to thank the listeners and viewers and the crew for being so steadfast in this fight. Because we're being vindicated and we have a good chance of stopping the globalists together. And by the day, more and more people shift their perspective from being a nice, good person, which you still are, but to thinking like a globalist and reading their own documents and understanding just how evil they are. And it's hard to get your mind around, but once you see things through their eyes, there's no putting the genie back in the bottle.
This is how Alex gets away with the fact that his primary sources don't say what he claims they do. You can't read a document and just think it means what it says. No, no, no. Before you read it, you need to run that document through the globalist filter. A Homeland Security paper might suggest extending refugee status to a larger number of people, and you could accept that means that the author is suggesting that the U.S. should extend refugee status to a larger number of people. But if you're able to think like a globalist, then you can clearly see that what they're really suggesting is that hundreds of millions of unvetted immigrants should be ushered into the country so they can be foot soldiers of the Democratic Party.
Right.
You think like a globalist.
Yeah.
The game is really transparent, but honestly, I haven't heard Alex express it quite like this very often. You can't just read things. You have to read them using code. And for an added bonus, Alex has just made up these globalists and imagined what their plans are, so guess who gets to be the sole arbiter of how the code is translated?
It's really nice. It's really convenient.
Once an audience accepts this kind of bullshit, they're essentially allowing one demagogue to be their sole contact point with reality. Alex has appointed himself as the person who will have what amounts to the final say on whether something is real or not, in essence demanding that the audience subordinate their own senses to him.
Right.
It's really pretty abusive, but on the other hand, it's just dumb. Context is important, and understanding the jargon that's used in various fields is critical to understanding how to read documents, but pretending that they're written in some kind of a sneaky code that only Alex's dumb ideology can unlock, that's a kid's game. He might as well tell the audience that he has a signed confession from Klaus Schwab, but it's written in invisible ink. Another critical issue is that Alex is basically the worst person you can trust about whether or not something is real. He's been completely wrong about pretty much every world event I can think of, and he lacks basic reading comprehension skills. He lies about his own past actions and beliefs constantly, and he's been tricked by fake documents multiple times, including the Soros Antifa contracts that one of his employees found on 4chan that he has to this day never issued a correction for.
Yeah.
Thinking like a globalist just means accepting Alex's version of reality despite what your eyes tell you. It's cult shit.
Two things. First, 90% of what you just said also applies to the Pope. Second, I think one of the other things in there that he accidentally revealed is just that, listen, once you get this, you'll go from being a nice person. I mean, you'll still be nice, which is a good way of saying you're going to become more violent if you start behaving and thinking the way that I have described over time. Like, he's literally saying, if you do this right, eventually you will break into Paul Pelosi's house.
You will become able to look at primary documents and find rationalizations to break into
exactly. Yes, Pelosi's absolutely. House. He's just saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a mess. And I think that's really an important aspect to understand. And it's one of the reasons why it's deeply frustrating to be able to like fact check stuff and look at like where you're getting these ideas from. It's like, that doesn't say that at all. Ha ha. Yeah. It doesn't need to.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it even applies to the Bible, honestly.
It does. Especially the Pope. But beavers are fish.
No, I mean for Alex.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I mean, like, the globalists didn't write the Bible.
No,
I hope
no.
He doesn't think that.
Well, they might have.
I don't know.
The people who say that Jesus himself didn't write the Bible are globalists.
I'm confused.
Yeah.
Fruits.
Exactly.
Anyway, Alex has done hundreds of interviews.
Sure.
People have apologized to him. And InfoWars is bigger than ever.
I don't know how any of that can be true, but I believe you.
They're bigger than ever in terms of judgments against them.
That's fair.
No one's ever had that.
They are about as in debt as you possibly could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Alex wants to talk about how big they are.
Very powerful report that needs to go viral at band.video. And remember, we built Band.video because they banned people all over the place. We have hundreds and hundreds of great contributors reaching millions of people a day, not just with our videos, but the other videos are getting millions of views a day in the aggregate. Some of the videos get 4, 5, 6, 8 million views apiece. On average, my videos get about 100,000 views, dozens a day.
Yeah. No, that's a bit of an exaggeration of pretty much everything about Band.video.
Maybe.
Alex's views are about 200,000, you know, for his shows. And if he has some like really flashy shorter video, maybe it'll do some numbers.
Sure.
But yeah, in Saturday shows, they actually do get a bigger crowd because they're not on the radio. So
right.
It's a bottleneck.
Right, right, right.
You can see them.
Yeah.
Still, generally, those are often under a million. From there, we see a big drop off. Harrison Smith's American Journal is typically between 10 and 15,000 views, which is a disaster. Owen's War Room usually hovers around a little over 30,000, which is similarly awful for what they're doing. Greg Reese's special reports often get between 500,000 and a million views, which I believe is the highest consistent viewership of the InfoWars in-house team.
Wow.
Paul Joseph Watson has a minuscule amount of viewers because he's still on other platforms, and why would you go to Alex's site when you can get that shit somewhere else?
Yeah, totally.
Same thing with Roger's channel. None of the three episodes of The Stone Zone that he's posted in the past month have over 600 views, which is because he's primarily on Frank's Speech now. People just go there.
Yeah.
And most of the other shit on this website is a ghost town. Gerald Celente has a channel and no one cares. Tommy Robinson has a channel. No one cares.
Ouch.
Someone named Allison.
Tommy Robinson has a channel?
Yeah.
Isn't he in jail?
He was for a bit. Yeah. He might be out now.
Okay.
Everyone's forgotten about him.
All right. That's fair.
Someone named Allison has something called Allison's Rage Page, which is a zero. David Icke and his son both have channels, which are going nowhere.
Now I'm interested in Allison's Rage Page.
I was too.
I lost
interest very quickly,
almost immediately.
Yeah. Honestly, many of these channels aren't even actively posting stuff, probably because people thought they'd give it a whirl and then they realized it wasn't worth it. It's a dismal situation over there. And if Alex is paying as much as he claims he is for bandwidth,
he's losing a lot of money.
Oh, man.
Not a good idea.
Oh, man.
Pay way less.
Woo!
Downsize.
Don't,
you know?
Don't pay for Allison's Rage Page.
It's hard not to think that one of the biggest problems with InfoWars is just overhead. It's just overhead.
Hey, look, I wanna cut some corners here, but we gotta post the new video from Salty Cracker.
You know, if you really gotta
post the new video of the guy who dresses like Uncle Sam and yells at people on the street.
If you really stop and think about it, maybe if the overhead wasn't so high, they wouldn't have chased after so many of these false flag stories so hard to get money, and then where would we be now?
Mm-hmm.
Keep a low profile.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Could work.
Yep.
I don't think that Owen or Harrison would be getting much more views if they did a podcast,
though. I don't think so either.
Oof.
Yeah.
Man.
Wouldn't have to pay him $100,000, though.
Ooh. So, Alex is, if he's one thing, he's consistent. That's not true. But he is consistently wrong.
Yes, that is true.
About stories. And when he's wrong about something, he likes to continue to be wrong about it.
Yeah.
And so he talks a little bit more about Paul Pelosi.
Smart.
So I'm going to say this right now and then hit all the other huge economy news, Russia war news, Pelosi, what really happened at the attack at the House that wasn't an attack, that was some type of bondage tryst gone bad. It looks like some another drug-fueled type operation. All the evidence is leaning towards. We're going to hit all of that coming up and more. I want to just tell the listeners something, the viewers something. You want somebody to take on the Democratic Party? You want somebody to take on the deep state? You want somebody to take on the ADLs and the Poverty Law Center? And take on the big media, big tech, all of it, we're doing it. So, we are recognized by the globalists as the biggest threat to their criminal enterprise. And so I know most of the listeners get this, but I want to really sink into the masses of people that tune in here and never spread the word or never go buy a book or a supplement or a film or a T-shirt. We don't have George Soros and the New World Order funding us.
We have negative $1 billion.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got a sales pitch here that comes off the continuing the Paul Pelosi stuff. Although I do like the idea that he's calling it an operation.
Yeah.
A gay hammer drug orgy operation.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
You know what it is.
I don't.
It's a gay hammer drug orgy operation.
Classic.
I don't know how to put those words together in a way that makes more sense to you.
I'm gonna need you to work on it because I'm still confused.
Yeah.
So Alex, I mostly kept that clip in for the operation word and then Alex weaving it into an ad pitch.
Of course.
Because I wanted to play this. I just thought this was silly.
You need to experience X3. Most people have iodine deficiency. Most iodine's bound. You don't absorb what you get in the food. You do this, it's a game changer. It takes 2 weeks to kick in. But something like Brain Force Ultra kicks in 15 minutes. It's an incredible focus nootropic, like nothing you've ever taken. Mental focus, clarity. It's like a intellectual aphrodisiac.
Just tell me it's cocaine.
And
that's all I want to know.
Hours. Very special formula. Nobody else has got it. Then you got Brain Force.
Except for
plus,
the Colombians.
It's good, clean, very strong, healthy, nootropic. Lasts 5 to 6 hours. Turbo Force is still sold out. Hopefully it comes in soon. It's 10 hours of insane.
Jonesing.
Tyrannosaurus Rex, Godzilla, King Kong energy. But they're all different formulas.
Why are you explaining your different kinds of speed?
I got a bunch of different highs for you. Yeah. I got a tackle box open.
All right.
Here.
All right.
This is a hybrid.
Yeah. How long do you want the high to last?
Exactly. That's what's happening.
Do you want to be speedy for 3 hours or do you want Tyrannosaurus Rex for 10? God, this is a mess.
That's so funny.
Oof.
Oh, my God.
So back to Pelosi.
Sure.
I don't know.
And the police didn't tell us until today that they found both men in their underwear in Paul Pelosi and Nancy Pelosi's bedroom. She was off in D.C. So I guess when the cat's away, the mice play. And
what?
This is looking more and more like some type of homosexual interlude or rendezvous. And I'll give it to Paul Pelosi. At least it wasn't a kid that was in there.
Fuck you.
My issue here is how they've spun the whole thing, put up fake websites that he was a right winger when he was a leftist, nudist, big Democrat supporter on record. That's all been confirmed. And the websites put up Friday saying he was a right wing QAnon person are not true.
Oh, you don't like the spin? Yeah. You don't like the spin?
No. See, the problem with the spin is that the United States media is not reporting on a gay hammer orgy situation.
Operation.
Operation. It should be an operation.
It's an operation.
It's an operation.
For sure.
I mean, that is so fucking awful.
It's a classic false flag, gay hammer orgy drug fueled operation.
It is like, I don't know how to be angrier that you can just say like, see, it looks like it was gay. Guess what? Now we can still be terrorists. That's so fucking, and it doesn't even make sense. If you're telling me there's a hostage situation and both men are in their underwear with hammers, I'm thinking that the guy who took hostages is a weird guy who made him get in his underwear and then got in his own underwear and gave him a hammer.
I think that would be an important thing to rule out before you jump to any other assumptions.
I wouldn't be like, oh, well, this hostage situation was just a regular situation gone wrong.
Right.
I would be like, this is a hostage situation going the way it was going to go.
And I mean, I think if you have misgivings about details and information that's there, pump the brakes.
Maybe.
You know, like, you know, I think you can be curious without doing what Alex is doing. You know, like, he's lamenting the spin while spinning so fast.
And it just explicitly homophobic, anti-LGBTQ plus way, as a way of denigrating them for a thing that he is fucking responsible for.
And, like, let's not forget, also, smearing a victim of a violent crime.
Totally.
Like, not the smearing part of it being like a gay thing. It's the smearing of it. It's like he was a victim of a crime, and you're turning him into a participant.
Again, it is such like fucking crazy that you can override people's brains that easily with being like, oh, so he's probably gay. Mm-hmm. Because that doesn't make any sense.
Well, here's the thing. I think that there is a lot of that going around.
Sure.
But I think Alex is kind of more focused on the hammer part. And
well, I guess that's a plus.
It's yeah, sure.
Okay.
When Paul Pelosi called 911, we're going to play that tape for you here in a moment.
Still doesn't have that tape.
He said, I know the man and listed his name. So he knows a man and lists his name, but then goes, oh, and tells the cops, actually, I don't know him. When he figures out how that sounds.
Completely made up.
And the police are obviously controlled by Democrats there in San Francisco. They won't even respond to regular crime.
Yeah, cops. Notoriously
Democratic.
And so they waited
until Sunday to release today that Pelosi is refusing to release surveillance footage to them, and Paul Pelosi was in his underwear in a bedroom with him, and that he'd gone in the bathroom and called the police, but then come back out and joined the man. Then they began to hit each other with hammers again.
Again?
And the police aimed guns at him and said, put your hammer down. And the younger man did not put his hammer down and continued to try to attack Pelosi, but they didn't shoot him because they could obviously tell this was some kind of weirdo stuff going on. This has come out now.
How?
This is some classic weirdo stuff.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Look, I mean, we talked about this a little bit earlier. I mean, I don't want to kink shame, but I don't think there's a lot of hammer play going
on. There's not a lot of hammer play.
But what about the prospect of, like, hot construction daddies? What about that?
The idea that you could listen to a man say that out loud and not go, well, send him to Coyote Land or something along those lines. Like, put him out into the wild.
Alex isn't the weirdo. They're the weirdos.
That's crazy.
Engaging in hammer
play.
That's
crazy. The idea that he went into the bathroom and called 911 came back out and then they began hitting each other with hammers again. You don't get to hit multiple times with hammers.
I think you could in some body parts. Certainly not in the head. It's usually one.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Yep. But look, the Alex puts a number on this.
And the cops didn't shoot them because they were like, oh, this is the fourth hammer fuck we've run onto this week.
It's just some weirdo stuff.
I'm sick of being in San Francisco with all these hammer fuckers.
So Alex puts a number on this about his percent chance certainty.
Sure.
About his narrative.
Okay.
So what do you want to bet? This never hits court, and this gets quietly handled. Two men in their underwear with hammers in a bedroom. There's a full police press conference on this, but you've got to really dig to find it. We can play the whole thing if you want. The police have guns on them. Both men. Pelosi, Paul Pelosi has police aiming guns at him. The police come in to the bedroom, and there's two men in their underwear with hammers. And the police say, drop it. And the younger man doesn't and continues to try to attack Pelosi. What in the hell is going on here? This is not someone breaking in and saying, where's Nancy Pelosi? I'd give it about a 99% chance this was some kind of weird wacko stuff going on.
Some weird wacko stuff. 99% chance.
I mean, I can't find a way in my brain to jump. Like, here's my jump. If I break into a room and there's two men naked, like wearing their underwear with both of them having hammers brandishing them towards each other, my thought is not like, oh, they're probably having some sort of sex game. My thought is like, this is like hour five of some sort of fight, like a Family Guy cartoon fight that lasted over six settings. And over time, their clothes ripped off as time went on until they wound up here like with hammers. Like, sure. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
I think it's more reasonable than weird wacko stuff.
Yes!
I also just, I can't get over the fact that Alex keeps saying two men in their underwear with hammers.
I'm supposed to know that.
You do the math.
Yeah, I mean, no.
Like, what?
Like, what are you talking about?
The implications are clear.
No, they're not.
So Alex continues his streak of being completely wrong about things he gives a 99% chance of being right about. David DePape has actually already, he's been arrested, he confessed to a crime, and he's going to jail for a long time.
Yeah.
He's charged with, quote, one count of assault on an immediate family member of a U.S. official with the intent to retaliate against the official on account of the performance of official duties, which could land him 30 years.
Yeah, that's a crime that governments like to take seriously.
Yeah.
The whole, don't attack us.
For doing our job.
Yeah.
Then there's the attempted kidnapping of a U.S. official to retaliate charge that could add another 20 years.
Sure.
Alex is having a real good fun time with this whole gay hammer fetish thing he's doing, but this is serious. Like, this is serious stuff. Also, on that last clip, Alex said that they are refusing to turn over the security camera footage to the police, and that's completely made up.
Yeah.
Alex is reporting based on some dumb shit he saw on social media, but Politico reached out to police, and PolitiFact spoke to Pelosi's spokesperson, and they both said that claim is false.
Right.
So he's wrong about everything.
Everything.
Like, every detail he's reporting about this story in order to cast suspicion on it is wrong.
It's just fictional.
Yeah.
Just complete fiction. You're not even spinning a conspiracy with anything to it.
Nope.
It's pathetic.
Yep. It's a completely alternative reality.
Yep.
But he's got it figured out.
Sure.
Who is the unnamed person let in the police? If I had to speculate, and it's not hard to speculate, if you've studied the lifestyles of these folks, they were both on cocaine or meth.
What?
And they were going crazy, doing God knows what to each other. And one of them got pissed off at the other one. And things went haywire really, really, really quick. And if you question that, you're called a conspiracy theorist. Well, all they do is lie to us. All they do is have a history of fraud. So we would be insane if we didn't question what's going on here. Here's some of the memes that came out.
Oh, good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, good.
I want to start a war.
So you might think that Alex is being homophobic by saying studying the lifestyles of these people leads you to believe that they're on meth or on coke. But what you don't understand is he's talking about the lifestyles of hammer people.
Yeah, I mean, globalists.
Like the Hammer Brothers and the Mario Brothers. They were super into meth.
You know what? Fine. If you have studied these lifestyles, give me one other example of a hammer sex fight. I just want an example of a hammer sex fight.
MC Hammer.
Okay. All right. MC Hammer.
I'm out.
Versus
I don't know.
Doris Day.
MC Hammer versus Jim the Anvil Neihardt. No, that's an anvil, not a hammer.
No.
Shit.
No. Who's the other hammer? Oh, whose nickname is the Hammer in some sort of sport?
Adam Carolla had a movie called The Hammer.
There you go.
Adam Goldberg had the Hebrew hammer.
That's true.
All of these things could be connected.
There it is. Now it's making sense.
I'm just pissed that I already used the Hammer Brothers.
Yeah, I know. You had it right there.
So Alex says he's questioning, but this isn't questioning anything. This is Alex lying about misreported details and bullshit memes he's seen on right-wing social media, which he's then laundering into being stuff that's been concretely reported by the police. It's fine to question things and retain an open mind until you hear more details about situations, but that is not what Alex is doing. He's constructing an alternative reality based on nothing for his audience to live in so they don't have to realize how much they have in common with the guy who tried to kidnap the Speaker of the House. It isn't good for business for Alex to let his audience realize how far down the extremist road he's taken them. Because you might wake up and be like, oh, shit. You know, you might look around and look to your left, look to your right. Two of these people are Nazis.
Yeah.
It could be a crystallizing wake-up moment.
And you're wearing an SS badge, and you're like, oh, no!
So Elon Musk, guy whose tree fruits will be determined at a later date.
Descend upon him like zombies.
He did some stuff with this Pelosi story.
Sure.
Elon Musk fact-checked Hillary about the truth.
Stop that.
The Paul Pelosi attack, and Elon is right. And then here's some of the memes. Paul Pelosi crime scene video.
Ha ha ha, memes. Elon Musk didn't fact-check Hillary. He posted a link to an article from a fake news outlet called the Santa Monica Observer, which is a publication that has reported in the past that Hillary Clinton was dead back in 2016 and that Trump had appointed Kanye West to a high-level post in the Department of the Interior. Oh, and also that Bill Gates caused polio.
Oh, so they're just a few years early.
Yeah. Musk was understandably embarrassed when this stuff was pointed out about the thing he linked to, so he deleted the tweet and he didn't learn a single lesson. So, fact-checking.
Yeah, it's great having billionaires run everything and rule the world.
So, Alex whiffed on this Pelosi story. I'm going to just say that.
Yeah, it's a good start.
But there's other news that's really important.
Sure.
Like, Russia, they have proof that the United Kingdom blew up the pipelines.
That sounds right.
We have the Russians officially saying they have evidence that British military, working with NATO, blew up the Nord Stream 2. And there's a big viral video. One version of it has like 10 million views. Whether it's about pushing against vaccinations or promoting Alex Jones, Kyrie Irving doesn't care about the impact of his words. He's just a wealthy, entitled individual who wants the benefits of existing in a society without responsibilities. And so they're demonizing him. He's responded to tweeting this video that I can't even count up how many views it's got. I mean, some versions have 15 million views. There's dozens of versions with millions of views. It's safe to say this has got 100 million views. And it's 20 years ago, a minute and a half clip where I just lay out the future that would be unfolding. So I thought we'd actually play the clip everybody's talking about.
Oh, my God.
And that Kyrie Irving did not apologize for posting on his Instagram.
Yeah, so Russia has proof that the UK did that shit with the pipelines. But more importantly, basketball player talked about me and
if the UK
it's so weird, you know. Alex is one of these guys who doesn't really care when he comes up in the media. He doesn't care when he doesn't, you know, it's not a big deal. He's so used to people, like
hundreds of interviews.
Oh my God, so many.
Unlike
and he never likes to talk about himself, like on the show. He doesn't want to, like,
not about him, it's about the movement
right now.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving.
Wow.
It was really cool. He posted my thing, and then people were mad at him. And
sure.
He said, oof.
Well,
we're
going
to spend a lot of time on
NATO
that.
NATO and the UK committed an explicit war act towards Russia. Fine. But, I mean, we got to deal with the here and now. That's like future news, man.
Right. And the here and now is I have a lot of views on my video.
Exactly.
So you have one last clip here, Jordan, because, you know, whatever. This show is really stupid. But Alex isn't the only thing making a return on this episode. He came back on Saturday, and on Sunday, I'm very thrilled to see something that has been MIA for a long time.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah! We're back! We're back, baby! You can feel it! You can see it!
Yeah, you can.
You can face it!
You can hear it.
going to let evil do this to us and our children?
Yes.
Are we really going to roll over to this?
You bet.
Not me.
Yeah, you.
I know victory's in our hands.
You wish.
But you have to ignite your connection to God.
Never heard
you
of him.
Choose liberty and ask God to come into you and raise you up.
Fuck that guy.
Standard of God.
Don't need his
when
shit.
When the enemy attacks. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. All right. If you're a radio listener, I kind of envy you because you don't have to watch this.
That's pretty much always true of his show.
I was going to say, yeah. That sounds right.
I do appreciate the letting it breathe for a long time.
Yeah,
you got some Glenn Frey coming back. Also, you know who the enemy is. It's Don Henley.
It always was.
Yeah.
It always was.
Nice to feel that bop come back.
That was good.
Yep.
I am shocked to say how refreshing that felt.
Yeah, real good. Not his best work,
no.
Over You Belong to the City, but man, like a breath of that fresh stuff.
Yeah, he's just getting back. You know, it takes a while before you're ready to really hit You Belong to the City. Mm-hmm. You know, you gotta do some classic Highwaymen before you can really hit You Belong to the City.
Well, and I mean, if I can be blunt, he set the bar pretty high. Like some of those other You Belong to the City rants were like, he should not have built the expectation.
Yeah, it's his best work.
Yeah.
Honestly, of all the things that Alex does go down in history for, I will give him some of those rants over You Belong to the City.
I've done 100 interviews in the past month, mostly about Alex's rants over You Belong to the City.
You've had a lot of people apologize to you in the past. Yep.
So, we check back in here and we see Alex come back from his workcation.
Amazing.
Lie his ass off about Pelosi and a hammer operation.
Yep.
And, that's about what you'd expect. It had been forever since we'd talked about Alex in the present day.
Yeah.
We were deprived of it because of his workcation.
Of course.
But, I feel like sour grapes a little bit. His return.
Yep.
So we will be back next week with some episodes. I believe how we're going to end up doing it is we'll finish up the deposition stuff on Wednesday.
Sure.
Check back in, see a little bit more of Alex's present day stuff, see if we can catch up a little because of the gap.
Right.
But also, I don't want to disappoint people because, you know, we talked about how there's 4 days of deposition. Two of them are not as meaty.
Sure.
So there's really only going to be 2 episodes worth of stuff, and I hope no one
comes at me
with a hammer for
we
that.
We could be like other more professional shows that would be like teasing it out in advance, you know, like making it an event as opposed to just being like, hey, that thing that everybody loves, we're just going to throw that out on our Wednesday episode for fun.
Yeah.
That's not how we do it.
It's not a great business model, but it is what it is.
It's worked so far.
Yeah. Sure has. Anyway, we'll be back, Jordan. But until then, we have a website.
We do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight.
And?
Oh, my God. I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
I keep fucking doing it.
Yeah,
I can't stop. I have a terrible addiction.
But you also finally got
a response
from Glenn Greenwald.
What a fucking
on your other
coward.
your account that has no followers.
Happy to reply to a 122 follower account.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Such a courageous man.
Yeah. Tip of the spear.
Yep.
Anyway, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I have a houseboat in my mind.
Ooh, I like that. A mind boat.
This is no good. I'm going to come up with a new bit.
And now here comes the sex robot.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.